Well, I hear the fair was quite the ordeal. Was it a blast? Wow. I'll have to experience. Is it just one time a year? Oh. I'll have to make sure I take a day off next year and come give some support to the local fair. That sounds like a blast. I was telling Crystal this morning, just from what I heard, it kind of reminded me of Charlotte's Web. Like, was Wilbur there? Did the animals get like a little, you know, what was like a ribbon or anything like that? Well, I'm really sorry that I missed you on Easter Sunday. If you can hear it in my voice, I had to go to New York right before Easter Sunday. My company sent me there, and when I got on the plane, I thought, I feel a little scratchy. Must just be, you know, everything blooming in Vegas. And then when I got to New York, it was almost like still winter there. Everything was barren, rainy, cold, so cold. And four of the presidents were just down the street from my hotel at Radio City Music Hall raising money. Clinton, Obama, Biden, and then Trump was in town for an event out on Long Island. And you couldn't get around anywhere. You couldn't walk around. The NYPD blocked off all the blocks until all of the entourage of all the Escalades went through and on here. And I'm thinking, as much as I appreciate, you know, being in New York at the same time as all these, you know, these figureheads, these presidents, I really just want to get to my hotel and put on the heater and get in my bed. But I couldn't get back to my hotel. I'm trying to tell the officer, my hotel is just right there. Can you just let me go across? No one gets through. And it was one of those moments. But second day, I was mentioning this morning that my hotel, even though I was obviously catching something, my hotel, they put me next to three elevator shafts against my main wall. So all night long, up until about 2 a.m., all I can hear, it almost sounded like a roller coaster. I just hear whoosh. It would stop from 2 to 5 a.m. and then start again about 5:30. And I couldn't sleep. I'm sick. And then I finally called Delta and I said, get me out of here. I need to get home. So I cut it short. But I did have time to capture this picture from the Hudson River, which is really cool. I don't know if it shows up as good as in my iPhone, but we took one evening and went out on a boat that goes down the Hudson. It goes around the Statue of Liberty as we're having dinner on the boat, and then goes back up, and you get to see all of Midtown. Actually, this is Lower Manhattan with the Trade Tower, Freedom Tower. But what a time! But I just wasn't feeling great. So by the time I got home, Janice said, "Are you good for Easter Sunday?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna be all right." And that's when she knew. No, it's. You're not going to be all right. So I'm still trying to just kick this thing, but I have to tell you, the Lord is good, amen? And regardless, especially in this time of season, when we get to springtime, I don't know about you, but it's always a little bit rough around springtime. Anybody else have a rough time around springtime, or is it just me? So, pardon me. If I have little coughs, you'll just have to forgive me today. But this morning, I began to think about someone that just selflessly gave a lot of herself, her life. It's almost like our song, our first song said this morning, I give you everything, Lord. And in the end, no matter what we go through, we can always remember that the best thing we can do with our life is give it to the Lord. Amen? So let's look at Luke. This morning, our scripture, we're going to look at Luke 21, and I really love this passage of scripture because what this elderly lady gave, this poor widow, what she gave really wasn't worth much by human standards. Have you ever had anything that meant something sentimental to you, but it really had no value? And I was thinking, I asked my wife, I said, have you ever had anything like that? She said, yes, my mother one time was in a bad financial spot. So Grandma Joyce was in a bad spot, and she took her class ring and went to go pawn it. And you know how much they offered her for her class ring? $20. So she said, you know what, it's not even worth it. So she gave it to my wife, Jana, and said, here, sweetie, you have that. It's not worth anything, but I want you to have it. And to this day, my wife adores that ring. I've never seen her wear it, but I will tell you, it means a lot to her. Or, in the sense of my grandmother, Grandma Marie Martinez, you know, the Martinez's know how to make Spanish rice like you can't even guess. The best Spanish rice ever. And I will tell you one thing. I have in my house her recipe with her handwritten, her little hands. And she had arthritis real bad, so I can even picture her writing it with her little fingers that were, you know, kind of twisted. And she's writing this out. She said, called me Mijo, which is like her son. Mijo, this is the family recipe for Spanish rice. Even though that little piece of paper isn't worth a thing, I have to tell you, it means everything to me. Another thing I thought of this morning was my dad used to be in the grocery business for many years. Anybody in the grocery business? Nobody. Well, my dad was, and he used to find little foreign coins in his till, and he'd bring it back all these coins to me. And thank you for mine, by the way. I added them to my collection. But my dad would give me all these little foreign coins from all his travelers that would come into his store, and they would, I don't know how they would get them in the till, and I would take those home, and I would look up these places. I want to learn more about Korea, or I need to learn more about France, or on and on and on. And it would make me as a child just dream. Have you ever been there? You're a kid, you just dream. And that's what I did. But what happened this day, as we look into Luke 21, a little lady, a widow, she gave hardly anything, but Jesus' response was priceless. All right, let's look at it. Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. Talking about Jesus. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I'm going to stop there because I brought some copper coins. This is my little roll of wheat pennies. I don't know if kids nowadays would even know what a wheat penny is, but I have a little roll here, just some that I put together. But out of all of this abundance of wheat pennies, she put in two small copper coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, this poor widow has put in more than all of the others. And all of these people, they gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. So I ask you today, if I hand these two little pennies to you, is this going to mean anything to you? It might not mean much to you. You're thinking, who's the weirdo handing out pennies? Why couldn't it be two 20s? What am I going to do with two pennies? Absolutely nothing. I bet you could take this to the little jar at the local, the Cup of Joe, and hand them this, and they're going to think, thanks a lot. But I'll tell you one thing, the interesting thing is, what if I had lost so much, loved ones, a home and everything, and this is all I had left? What if I lost absolutely everything and all I had in the world were these two pennies and I put them in your hand and I said, I want you to have these? Would it mean more to you then? This is what Jesus is telling us this morning, which is absolutely fascinating. So let me mention this to you today. This is what it would have sounded like. The wealthy come and they put in all that they have of their abundance. Did that sound impressive? It did. And then here she comes. Wow. When you think about this moment, Jesus is really flipping the script here, isn't he? For me, in my perspective, the first sounded way better. It almost sounded like you hit megabucks at Caesar's Palace. And then she drops in two. Ding, ding. But how is it that someone who had nothing almost could give it all, and someone who had it all almost didn't give anything from the perspective of Jesus? So I began to wonder, and I wrote this down for myself, what is it that I'm putting into the treasury of heaven this year in 2024? Isn't there so much more in the sense that we could put more into God's treasury? Amen? And that's not just money. It's time. It's love. It's investment. It's a call. It's a prayer for someone. It's investing truly in eternity in the lives of others and in the lives of our families. And you know what I've been putting into God's treasury lately? And tell me if you might, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but tell me if you might connect with this. What have I been putting into God's treasury? Working too much. I'm too busy. I don't have enough time right now on my hands. Haven't been feeling good. I've been feeling exhausted. I'm sure I'll get around to it. You ever tell your loved one that? I need you to do this or that. I'll get around to it. I have to wait. You have to wait. You know, seriously, I've been spread too thin. Have you been feeling spread too thin, anybody here lately? If we're not careful, that becomes what we are putting into the treasury of God. And we have to remember that we have a day like this to remember that what we put in can be our best, amen? We just need to remember. And last year, I got to tell you, sometimes I feel like more generous than other times in my life. And last year, I felt pretty good. Like I really like connected with people, prayed into people's lives, gave to the poor, and on and on and on. I was generous at work. When everybody gets together for holidays, you know, I don't hold back, and I really just go out of my way, and I felt really good about that. But you know what bothered me? As I started thinking, why when I get into those moments of just generosity, why am I so happy about all that? And I wrote down, why does that make me feel so good about myself? Is that really even necessary? Because the widow, when I thought about her, she's nothing like me. I'm nothing like her. Most people give from the abundance of what they have, and our widow, she gave all that she had to live on. What a testimony. So today we're talking about her and the reaction Jesus had to her. She gave all that she had to live on, and sometimes we think that what we're doing, what we're giving, you know, is we're being generous, we have all of these, great accomplishments, and we resemble all of these things that we hold dear to ourselves. Like, no, we want to be people that give. But sometimes when we give out of our abundance, we have to remember that sometimes it might need to be a little bit extra. Have you ever had to do something that kind of like hurt a little bit? Have you ever done that? Like, you know what? I just don't have it right now. But God is still calling me to invest and give in. Or God is still calling me to do more. But we should consider this year, honestly, in increasing our giving into people's lives, into this church, into all that we do. Not just of money, like I'm saying. We can financially support this church as we should, but we should also commit our lives and our time to people and capture the admiration of Jesus Christ. Amen? Truly, we want Him to be, honestly, the most proud of us. Amen. And I would say sometimes that means that we will have to come out of our comfort zone. We will have to abandon safety. We will even have to abandon convenience. So the first thing I wanted to mention this morning is this. When you think about it, how much do you think she had left over? We obviously know. Isn't this the wildest thing too? Nothing. She had nothing left over. This is why she's nothing like me. This is amazing. How much do you think she had left over? And the reason I ask this question is, do you give yourself a little budget every week, possibly? Anybody here? You give yourself a little budget? I do the same thing. Because what I did is I thought in the terms of my week. Sometimes I'll go and I'll grab $20 out of the ATM and I'll think, all right, Ryan, spend within your means. But if I take that $20... and I go and I run down to, on the way to work, I go run down to Starbucks and I get that beautiful spinach and feta egg wrap with that. What, by the way, who invented sriracha? Isn't that just like adding sugar to salsa or something? But anyways, you do that, boom, there goes $5. Then you go grab a little latte, boom, there goes $3. Well, I do it through McDonald's, so it's cost me $3 with my app. Or then later at work, you think, you know what, I'll go grab a tea. There's another $5. And then on the way home, I think, you know what, I might want to try that new Diet Coke Vanilla Zero. Boom, there's $2.50. Before you know it, in one given day, my $20 has bit the dust. And I don't have much left over. But now if a homeless person was there, and as you know, I have a friend that pretty much hangs out on the bridge at the Wynn, If Tamika needed that $20, guess what? I've almost spent it all. But I had good food, I had a great latte, I had a nice mint tea, and I have a little bit extra for that Diet Coke later, and I don't have much left over. But could I have gone without? That's probably the lesson of the widow. Could I have gone without? Jesus says of the widow, he says this, I assure you, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has, and this is exactly why she had given more, because all that she had and nothing remained. What an example. Is that easy to do? I don't think it sounds easy at all. You know why? Because I'd be thinking to myself, wait a minute. Isn't that what we do? So why do you think she gave all that she had away? And I'll tell you, Jesus, we'll look a little bit before this passage that we read. He had previously warned about greed, and that's what I want to talk about today. This is the year in 2024 to avoid and reject greediness. Amen? This is the year, and I see it all day long at the hotel that I work in. People just wanting to accumulate. They wanted to win the money, get the handbags, get the watches, get the blah, 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 whatever it is they want. Accumulation. And Jesus, his eye was caught by a widow that truly was the example of extraordinary faith by giving away. So here's the picture. Let's paint the picture. The lepta coin is what it's called. She had two of these. It's the smallest coin used. It's actually 1/8 the value of a U.S. penny. Can you imagine? And not only that, but that lepta, actually, it was valued at 1/100th of an average daily wage. Isn't that crazy? Talk about working for pennies. And then she's a widow. No husband. She lost him. No spousal support. No social security. Probably hardly any resources. And greedy people are out there. She's dealing with that. But she gave her gift. And notice that it's not required. No one told her she had to do it. It was a free will offering. And may we learn from that example, amen, to give freely to the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Give freely to the work of the Lord. Offerings to Him. But the rich were mixed into that crowd. Now this is a really interesting situation. Not only is there a poor widow, but there's a group of rich people. They come with their large gifts. Oh my goodness, that sounds lovely, doesn't it? Large gifts that made a lot of noise in those boxes that they dropped them in. And here is where we find a defining moment. Although her two measly small coins could not compare to the large gifts of the rich, she gave the most in the eyes of Jesus. She gave the most, and how much left over did she have? We asked like our first question up on the board today. How much left over did she have? She had the admiration of Jesus Christ. And that is amazing. So you know what, truly, as we continue into the middle part of 2024, may we truly search after the admiration of Jesus in living His example and pouring out our lives into the lives of others. Has the Lord ever led you to someone, or maybe recently? Give generously into their lives. Hallelujah. Be there for them. Our second point this morning is this. The poor widow, she was truly searching out opportunities to serve the Lord. Do you know when opportunities arise? Do you have your radar up for that? Opportunities come all the time. You just have to look. You just have to have your eyes open. Opportunities come all the time. I think of my neighbor. We just bought a one-bedroom condo, and there's a widow that lives next door to us. Her husband passed away years ago. She's all by herself. It's hard for her to get around. I can see her struggling to get her trash to the trash bin at the condo. And I have to tell you, that is an opportunity. Amen? Even if myself or my kids can say, Barbara, let us take that trash for you. In fact, whenever you have trash, would you let us know? I'm probably over there right next door. I could take it for you. You don't have to go carry that out of there. And she said, you know what? Now that you tell me you worked at Chanel, she said, I forgot to tell you, my mother, when she was alive, always wore Chanel No. 5. Have you heard of this fragrance? So she said, I always remember my mother putting on a drop of Chanel No. 5. So when I was in New York, sick as I was, I go into the employee store, which is a cool little place because the prices are spectacular. And I really don't know what I'm buying because it's fragrance and beauty. Jenna knows all the things. I need eyeliner, I need a mascara, I need a powder, I need a this. All these names, I don't even really know what these things do. So I just give the list to one of the ladies that's there, and I said, can you help me pick these out? Well, what color does she need? Well, what's her complexion? What's her? Here's her picture. You guys tell me. So, so there on the shelf was a bottle, a little mini thing, cute as can be. No. 5, really heavily discounted. And I thought, Barbara is going to love this. And she's a Jewish lady that's a retired teacher. And then, even though I wasn't feeling well, it was close to Easter and I couldn't be here, I got back and I said, Barbara, I have something for you, and I hope in your house you can spray it and always think that your mom's with you. And then she said, Happy Easter. And I said, thank you so much. And I said, if there's any other No. 5 pieces that you'd like, you know, like the little cute little soap or anything, you just let me know. And then she said, I miss my mother so much, and now I'm going to feel like whenever I do, I'll spray that fragrance and feel she's with me. How adorable. But I mean, these are the moments, truly, that we can invest into people's lives, amen? Pour into people's lives. You don't know what one little investment of Alepta in somebody's heart will produce, amen? I got a happy Easter. That was worth 100 Lepta in my heart, truly. And then I think about the opportunity of my homeless friend Tamika on the bridge. I'll have that $20 in my pocket that I give myself once in a while. And I don't carry cash too often nowadays, but I have a mission with that $20. I'm going to go across the bridge to Coffee Bean. And I'm going to get my beautiful latte. I might even get that delicious jalapeno cheddar bagel with cream cheese. I might just have a blast today. But I know if I go over the bridge, Tamika will be there, and I'll feel obligated to hand her some of my money. Or I can go down the street level and totally avoid her today if I'm not in the mood. Interesting thoughts, isn't it? That's human nature right there. I would like to keep my 20 today. How many 20s do I have? I have enough. I can afford to give her one. Believe me, it's just like, but she needs it more than I do anyways. But my nature is to, yeah, don't feel like dealing with it today. Ground level, I'll sneak through the other way. But I'll tell you, I can remember one work week at my old job. You know, sometimes when it comes to giving to people, giving into people's lives, sometimes our heart just isn't there. And we think, you know, like, hey, we're taking a collection for so-and-so or this or that. And I think, yeah, geez, I just got my allowance. You know, I call it my allowance. I get my $20 out. I'm like, I just put it in my pocket. Or my neighbor hits me up for like her child's, you know, raising money for some sports thing. I'm like, there it goes again. There goes my cash there. Or someone's selling something. There was even one time Jen and I checked into a resort and they had a prize that I won, and I ended up winning the prize at the resort, $250. And then my mother called me, son, your sister has a financial need. I'm like, oh, I just got that. I had it in my hand less than like 30 minutes. Why you got to call now, Mom? Can you call tomorrow? I just like to hold this $250 in my hands just a little bit longer. But you know what it is? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we won't always want to respond in the right way. And you know what I've learned? That's okay. Because I can always tell the Lord, forgive me, Father. My initial response was incorrect, but I know what I have to do. And I have to make you proud of me by doing the right thing. So, I give to as many people as I can, and sometimes I do it, honestly, with a sour heart. Is that a shock? We know it's true, isn't it? We know what it's like to be human. And then we have to ask for forgiveness. There are many times we won't meet scriptural standards for cheerfulness and giving, but I'll tell you one thing. We don't want to keep our allowance, amen? We want to give freely in this world and invest into people. Not just money, but other things too. There are times where you might feel a little isolated. You don't feel like reaching out. You feel like God's placed someone on your heart. It's important just to get your shoes on and make the steps towards reaching out to people's lives, amen? Being there for them, honestly. That's why I'm blessed by the example of our widow, because she truly is one of a kind. And that's what caused her to impress Jesus. And I want all of us to begin like the widow, to look for opportunities and not miss them. Abandon your comfort zone. Abandon yourself. Forget the self and tie into God and tie into the ways of God, which is pouring out into people's lives. Pray about what these new ways might be. If you just ask the Lord, He will respond. Amen? You have to remember that always. The Spirit is sure to answer. And whether it be financially blessing someone's life, praying, encouraging, being there to build them up, freely giving what you have, pour your all into others. Amen. This is the year to do it. So give to God, because God has given the most. What did you think of the solar eclipse? Did you get those glasses? I just poked some holes in paper and then tried to see if I could see anything. It didn't really work out so good, but I think I saw something. But I have to tell you, the solar eclipse is pretty cool how the Lord has arranged this in the cosmos. Did you see the stars last night? Did you look up? Orion's kind of heading across the sky, heading over in the west. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous. You probably get great views of the stars out here. Is it not amazing what the Lord has given us? All of that just to give light upon the earth and us. In fact, one gentleman at NASA, in 2006, they were sending a probe to Pluto. Pluto, did you know Pluto got ditched from the list of planets? Isn't that a bummer? They cut Pluto off because it's so irregular and weird. But around 2006, they wanted to go to Pluto. They wanted to photograph it. So NASA, you guess how many years it would take to get to Pluto? Anyone want to take a guess? Would you believe they can actually get there in 9.5 years by going 36,000 miles per hour? Isn't that crazy? But since you mentioned 200, you got to see this. This is the funniest thing. The orbit of Pluto around the sun takes 248 years to go around the sun one time. And we do it every 365 days. Is that insane? So when they sent out this probe, the NASA guy said this: God has laid out the solar system. God has laid it out in a way that requires a certain amount of patience on the part of those who choose to explore it. But I thought it was such a great quote. God has given. Amen? And that's definitely our motto for 2024. May we give. So our last point this morning is this. Let's put it up as well. The point of this story, her example is all about complete surrender. Do we need to surrender more? Do you have an American flag in your house? What about a white flag of surrender? Isn't that what we need to wave to Jesus once in a while? You know what? I've been doing my own thing too much. I've been working. I've been doing this. I. And we sometimes need to remember to have a second flag in our house, the white flag of surrender, and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want to surrender more of my life to you. So let's read in the Greek. What does the Greek say about our passage of Scripture? It looks this way. And having looked up, speaking of Jesus, he saw the rich ones putting in their gifts, boom, so many gifts, into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow putting in 2 lepta. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance. Do you ever feel like the Lord has blessed you so much? Out of their abundance, they put in the gifts to God, but she, out of her poverty, put in all the living. This is what the Greek says. All the living which she had. 2 coins she put in, and that was such a sign to the Lord. Now let's look at living. What is the word for living in Greek? Bios. Bios is an interesting word. It implies a present state of living, or it can also mean a means of livelihood or it can mean a means of living. But in our context, bios means the existence, mostly important existence. And Jesus is saying, this widow put in her existence. Is this wild or what? She truly gave her very existence. So we exist this year to live for God. Amen. We exist this year to draw in closer to the Lord, closer to His Spirit, closer towards being Jesus to others in our communities, in those that we meet. Hallelujah. Be the bios for someone. Amen. This is the year to do it. Our widow used all that she owned to serve the Lord. And this is the year to serve Him. She's a shining example of what it means to truly trust God. Do you have trust issues? Ooh, I like to pry sometimes. Anybody here? Trust issues? I don't trust people. I was that way for many years after my parents' divorce. I thought if you couldn't trust parents to stay together, you can't trust anybody. Does that make sense from a human perspective? But you know what? God had greater things. When it came time for me to find a wife and think, I don't, can you really trust anybody? Can you really trust anybody? And then it was so easy to date all the wrong people. I'm like, no, Pastor David, you know Pastor David probably. His brother John said, Ryan, you're not looking for a Christian woman. You're looking for an active Christian woman. And I said, well, now this is going to be even harder. I'm living in Vegas. But you know what's so wild? All I had to do was take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And that was the day Melanie Wagner, student accounts, who I paid my tuition to, said, I have the perfect girl for you. That's a big word, perfect, isn't it? I'll tease her about that later. But I tell you one thing, the Lord is faithful when you surrender it to Him. Let the widow be an example. Truly believe that Christ, He judged her gift not by how much she dropped in the box, but by how much left over she had after giving. Amen? She gave everything, her bios, hallelujah. And consider this, the widow could have kept back one coin. Why'd she have to drop in both? Is this crazy? She could have just went, latte time. She could have done that. But she did not. She could have kept it back. She could have skipped the temple that day. She could have gone on the ground level instead of over the bridge past Tamika. She could have done so many things. But she was willing to give both, and she knew who would care for her today, and she knew who would take care of her tomorrow. Oh, praise God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. So invested in us. So I tell you today, gladly surrender what you have to the work of the Lord. And may we see the lesson in total surrender, amen, and learn from her example. So I thought as we close today, I thought we'd go back and look why Jesus even mentions a little widow in this context. And I'll tell you why. Because what happened was, he was right before Luke 21. Oh, I lost my spot. I just pulled my little string out. Right before Luke 21, there's Luke 20, and this is what Jesus said. He said this. Right before Luke 21, He said this in Luke 20:46. Beware the teachers of the law. These are the big shots that act all religious. Beware the teachers of the law. They like to walk around. You ever seen these peacocks walking around? You were just at the fair. You probably saw a couple. They walk around in flowing robes. They love to be greeted in the marketplace, and they have the most seats in the synagogues and the best places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. Why did they devour widows' houses? These big religious-looking big shots. You know why they devoured their houses? Because they were greedy. They were greedy people that could literally take from others rather than give into others. May that never be us, amen? We need to pay careful attention to what Christ is saying, a warning not to be greedy people and accumulating, but truly being people that give into other people's lives, amen? We don't need all the praise, all the glory, all any of that. We need to give it all to the Lord and invest in people. Jana, when she was a second grade teacher, which was kind of traumatic for her, she used to have a prize box, and she'd invite the kids up, the second graders, to come up for a prize when they would win something. And you know what the kids would do? They would grab two prizes and hide one in a fist and say, "Oh, I picked out the car." And she'd say, "Oh, let me see the other hand." And they would have to show the other hand, "Oh, no, this was only a one prize thing, like I told you. Now you'll have to put both back." May we never act like spiritual second graders, amen? May we never try to hold on to the things that truly aren't ours anyways. They're all provisions of the Lord, amen? Hallelujah. So don't forget to truly be people that give, amen, that lead in giving, show an example for giving, be generous. You know how many times my son says, "Dad, why you tip so much?" And I said, "Because I like to make people happy. I like to show them that I value them. I like to show them that I appreciate what they're doing." And now my son's working for tips, and I said, it all comes around. People that protect other people, we need to be that kind of person. People that lay down their lives for those that the Lord entrusts us to care for. This is important too. John 10. I want to finish with John 10, then I promise we'll finish for reals. I keep tricking you on that. John 10 says this way, verses 11 through 18. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's just a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd." And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. "The reason my Father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So may we lay down our lives, amen, this year to the Lord in a greater way. Because a true Christ follower will look after those that are in distress, will avoid selfishness, and encourage selflessness. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you this day. Excuse me. We thank you, Lord, that truly we learn from the example of this poor widow that caught your attention, and you couldn't believe what she did to the point where you were so impressed, your admiration and love for her flowed so much. And you know what, Lord? We want to be people that do the same. We want to be people that are very similar in action and deed, in heart and mind and soul. Father, we ask that you remake us this year into your image in a greater way. People that shun greed. We want to be people that truly look for opportunities, Lord, to give to what you are doing, to the people that you are entrusting to us, to truly put all into the things that are given by you, and nothing is left over because we've given it all, hallelujah, whatever that may mean. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that truly we are here to be your people in this community. And not only that, Lord, but we want to be the people that change our communities, our families, our lifestyles, our mindsets, our hearts for you. And in your name, we pray this day and ask for your help, Lord, to capture a piece of that beautiful moment that the widow created by throwing in those two coins, all that she had, all of her bios, all of her existence. Lord, may we put our existence in you. In Jesus' name we pray this day. Amen.